Let us pray. Dear most heavenly, most gracious Father, giving you the glory, the praise, and the honor, we thank you for blessing us with another day, dear God, to come in and to receive your truth. Help us to grow in your word, to do what we need to, dear God, in order to be a light in the world. Help us to encourage one another the way we're supposed to, not being distracted by the things going on around us, dear God, but growing each and every day in your holiness, dear Lord, through your grace. As we start today, we ask you to allow me to be an instrument used by you, presenting your word in a way that's honorable and reverent, but clear and understandable. We want to make sure we're walking and growing and seeking you, loving one another through the love that you have given us, the only genuine love, and just learning and gaining understanding through your Holy Spirit. So as we start, we hand this over to you for your teaching and for your guidance and all these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name, we say, amen. All right, praise God. Thank God for a new lesson. Once again, hopefully you were blessed by the lesson of life. Hopefully you go over that again. It's a lot of information. This one, if you look at the name, Always Seek Truth, you would think it would go without saying. You would think, well, of course, that's what we're doing. Let's go to the next step, Pastor. The problem is that's not the case. One of the main reasons we're doing this, if you were to stop and just look at Christianity today, why are we so separated? And not just separated, comfortably separated. And the reason being is because we are not seeking truth, we're seeking our truth, which in turn, not truth. I was talking to a couple of people and it was funny because like the church, I know people get mad at the news today. We see the news and we're like, I don't watch that because it's a lot of nonsense. And we say this, and y'all may have heard me say this over my steps, but if you pay close attention, we created that. News first started, it gave exactly that, news. Got boring to us, we didn't like what we heard, we weren't watching. Somebody got the mindset to make it entertaining, to start adding more to it. And now we have this thing that they repeat stuff and we complain about it, but it's being watched. Same thing with church. We didn't want to hear the truth. I know when this first started, I was naive enough to think, man, once they get the truth, they're going to want to receive it. No, I've heard time and time again, oh man, I'm receiving the truth, but I want something that makes me feel better. I don't want all this responsibility. It's a shame that we have to talk about seeking truth. Now, I made this an entire sermon because it's so important, and especially for those who are listening, to first do it yourselves, and then secondly, to make sure other Christians, you're encouraging them to do it. Because we keep living in this deception that we call truth, we may be setting ourselves up in the end. Does everybody understand that? Okay, I think we feel comfortable in a lie. And we can't. That's why I have under it as a subcaption, avoiding deception. Let's understand what deception is, because it comes in different forms. First of all, there are four types of deception. Four types of deception. There is the lie. That's the one deception. I think today we don't tolerate as much. There is now, don't get me wrong, we still like a good lie. You know, if you're being honest, we'll take a lie, and if we like it, we'll just accept it, right? But the lie is the one that's, you can prove there is no truth to it. But that's not the one that's hitting us today. That's not the one that's beating us up as much. We get the half truth. Now, what the half truth is there is truth in what they're telling you, but where they get you is you don't hear the other side of the story. There was a documentary that came out not too long ago, and people watched it on Netflix, and it had everybody, it was almost pushing being vegetarian. And you had people that just went into this mode of, I'll never eat meat again, and they just, oh, this is horrible. And what they said in the documentary was true. What they did not give you is the other side of it. And there's another side that made you go, oh, I'm not eating anything again. Because we're in a situation right now where every food and everything is tainted. You understand that. But we took that one-sided conversation, let it blow us up, and we ran with it. Because that's what humans do. We like to take stuff, and we get excited over a half-truth. And we don't like to check, because it takes work. Somebody did all the work for us, and that's all we're going to do. Then you have the overemphasized and the underemphasized. Now there was a law that was put out for the drug companies that when they advertised their drug, they had to tell you the side effects. So you'll get the commercial and they're dancing and they look cured and everything's great. And they make sure they really, you know, overemphasize the effects, the good effects of the drug. And by the end, small print in here, talk like this, it's going to cause this. And you have no idea what they're saying. You know what I mean? And in it, if you listen close, this is may cause death. And you're like, wait a minute. You understand? But you didn't hear that out loud because the person in the commercial was happy. And they're like, it changed my life. Because one is overemphasized. But they are telling you the other side of it. Do you understand that? Just to cover themselves, but they want to make sure they're pulling you in by the half truth. But here's the main problem. Self-deception. Selective hearing. Especially in this political season, I sit back and I watch and I'll talk to both people who love Democrats and people who love Republicans. And when you hear them talk, man, they're strong on one and they ignore the other. You understand? Especially when they do the same thing. They'll have a nice comforting excuse why their team is doing the bad thing, but man, they'll bash the other for doing. You get where I'm coming from? We tend to end up being hypocrites. Now, I'm using those worldly examples because that's what we really see straight in front of us. The problem is we as Christians shouldn't be participating in any of this. There should be no lies, no half-truths, no overemphasizing or underemphasizing, and of course, no self-deception. That's going to be at the end of this lesson on deception. But understand, and I'll keep saying it, deception is a choice. What Satan has done successfully is he made us feel like the victim. People will say things like, well, I was confused and I didn't understand. And we'll put those things out there as if, you know, I did my best, but I didn't know. While that's not the truth. Now, you didn't pursue it the way you should have, and you still allowed you to play a part in this. Does everybody get this? And we're going to see this, and hopefully we understand. So let's understand it first. God's will is for everyone to come to the truth. He says this clearly in 1 Timothy 2, 3 through 4. He says, this is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants all men. Everybody say all. He wants all men to be saved, and watch this, and come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, usually people think when they hear that truth in the Bible, it's talking about a particular truth and not all truth. So you have to understand, all truth is from this one truth, okay? If it's really true, it'll all fall in place with this truth. If it's not, it'll be outside of this truth. And that's what he said. I want all men to come to the knowledge of the truth, okay? And the truth will encompass your entire lifestyle, everything that you do. Main reason a huge part of our lives are a lie is because we think, well, I'm a Christian, so he's going to ignore this part of my life. Well, if it's still part of your life that you're still accepting a lie. Does that make sense? Okay? As Christians, we must seek and do and be and head people towards truth. We're going to get an understanding of what truth is. So what is truth? He lets us know, for everything, there is just one truth, and that's Jesus. Does everybody get that? Let me look at something here. Okay. Did I miss something? No, never mind. All right. For everything, there is just one truth, and that is Jesus. All right, Jesus answered, I am, keyword, the, everybody say the, way, and the, everybody say the, truth, and the, everybody say the, life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, this encompasses everything. So the way you do things, the path you take in life, Christ. The answer to everything, Christ. And your entire life, Christ. So everything you do, from how you put your clothes on, to what you do in school, to your relationships, to how you are, what food you eat, are all through Christ, believe it or not. Okay? Don't make Christ this little package of your life. Christ is your life. And once we recognize that, then we'll do everything through him. That's why he says, whether you eat or drink, do it all to the glory of God. That means everything I do will represent God. And hopefully the question will go, well, how? Then the next thing should be, my study should be, how could everything I do glorify God? Amen? Instead of playing the victim, going, well, I don't know how that works, and then just move on, we go, I'm going to figure out how drinking glorifies God, how eating glorifies God, how what I wear glorifies God, and then I'm going to do it. That's you seeking truth, because you heard that, and you gave me the answer of what the truth is. So as long as it goes through Christ, it's truth, but it must go through Christ. So we have to understand that. Then we have to understand truth is a lifestyle. It says in John 3, verse 21, but whoever lives by the truth comes into the light. Now, as Christians, we're supposed to be in the light. Supposed to be, okay? But it's only those who choose to live by the truth. Now, this is where the problem comes in today. We've allowed Christianity to teach us, hey, say these few words, now you're a Christian, now go live your life. Instead of recognizing, Christianity is an acceptance of living a light lifestyle, okay? Or living a lifestyle in the light. If you accepted Christ, you chose, yep, I'm going to live in the light. Now, this is a benefit, a necessary benefit, that says whoever lives by the truth comes into the light. Many Christians said they accepted Christ, but they stayed in the darkness. Think about that. They went back to doing the same things they were always doing. Their attitudes were still the same. They still reacted emotionally. They still reacted intellectually. They still were very deep into the culture. Oh, but I accepted Christ. This is why he says that wide path, many find it, and it's leading to destruction, right? Because many said they would and still did not. But the person living by the truth, every aspect of their life, you could measure by God's word. They'll be able to say, well, I do this because the word says. It won't be a picking and choosing. It'll be everything. Do y'all get this? He made it clear. Whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen, what? Plainly. Every part of my life, I'll look like the Bible. Now, unfortunately, people have destroyed the Bible so much that we don't know what that means. That's why people do Christianese things, and we call, like I said, if somebody puts on a suit today and they walk around with a book, we'll call that a Christian. Now, you won't find that in the Bible. You get where I'm coming from? You won't necessarily, that's a something that the world molded into Christianity. What they'll see is the light that he's talking about of our gentleness. He'll see our love. He'll see how we tolerate others. He'll see our joy. He'll see our peace all the time in every situation. When I see a Christian with an attitude, it concerns me because I'm like, do they understand who they represent? You get that? We love them, but I'm only human. No. You now represent. That's why you offered your life as a living sacrifice. It means this attitude thing gone. You have to say, this is unacceptable. I now represent Christ. That's what it says, so that it may be seen plainly. The person living in the truth knows, I cannot display this anger that I may feel. I cannot display this unhappiness that I feel. I have to show him, right? And there's a process of how that works. It says that plainly that what he has done has been done, watch this, through God. That's the key. I can't stop not showing how sad I am or upset. It's me allowing him. When I live in the truth, it's me taking what his word says and applying it. Once I apply it, I start growing. Once I start growing, it's me beating my body. Okay? A definition of sincere is when I do it despite how I feel. Now, remember, the world's definition of sincere is when I do it when I feel it. Do you notice how the world's definition is based on you, right? God's definition is based on him. That's the way you'll know the difference. So when the Bible says sincere, it's me doing it despite everything else, including me. So I may feel angry at you, but man, when you see me still show my love to you, that's sincerity. That's what God's looking for. I'm going against me to display him. And the only way I can do that is through him. Got this? All right. So that's a person displaying, okay, God, how can I be truly used and display you? Now, what is truth? Truth is a mandatory element when it comes to worshiping God. This is another thing churches have turned into. And remember, I told you it's a product of us. Okay. It's a product in which we took church and we turned it into an entertainment center made for the comfort of men. And that's not what church was supposed to be. However, man likes that. That's why that element works. I've been told many times, Pastor, maybe you need to change your church. Less of the word and more of this. Add a whole lot of fluff. People enjoy themselves, come out, and they feel good. My job is not to make you feel good. And yes, I need to even give more word. But people don't want that, right? But what we are supposed to do is do it in a way to honor him. And please understand, church is just a part of worship. Your life is worship. And look what he says here in John 4, 23 through 24. He says, yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. So those two elements. Now, quickly, those two elements do represent the word of God. Okay, the Bible shows that the word is spiritual. It's living and active. And the Bible shows that the word is truth. Because remember, the word is Christ. This Bible you read is Christ. A lot of things you go and you ask in your prayers to Christ to answer, you already have the answer in this word because the word is Christ. But it shows us that in worshiping him or how I live must be done in spirit and truth. He says, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. Did you catch that? So this is mandatory. And this is another one of those things that should excite us to the point where, oh, wait a minute, there's something I have to do. Or do we just kind of read this and go, amen, and go to the next page? Some of these things he gives us as warnings for us to check us. Do you understand? I remember I had a car at one time, and I was always told, in this car, man, if you just make sure you change the oil, you'll be in good shape. I mean, that was me. He said, but if you don't, okay? And I remember then we got the synthetic oil, which means you can go a lot longer before you change it. And I went so long, I forgot to change it. And then I remember when I finally took my car in because I was having a problem, he was like, oh, you haven't changed the oil. And my engine was gone. And that was a lot of money that I had to end up buying a new car. Do you understand that? Okay. And it shocked me because it was like, but you were warned, Keith. Did you get that? You were warned. And in the same way, God warns us here when he says must worship in spirit and in truth, and we don't change our oil. We still worship our way, whatever makes us comfortable, because I don't want to go and find out what spirit and truth is. And I don't want to waste my time. Now, I'll spend time watching that show on TV. I'll spend time traveling the world. I'll spend time getting all the food I want. However, I don't want to spend time in God's word. Okay. When your engine is done, I'm using this as a symbol. It's only you to blame. Amen. We got to make sure that we are going, okay, I have to live and worship a certain way or my worship is meaningless. There are people who think because I went to church, because I go to Bible study, because I read my Bible, I'm good. Are you? Remember, spirit and the truth, there are patterns to it. It's not just studying. I study, understand, and apply. That's spirit and in truth. If you just one that just studies, you might as well not do it. You can read a book. The Pharisees, Sadducees, religious leaders were excellent at knowing the word, horrible at doing it. And he told them, oh, you guys are going to the darkest part of hell. That's deep, isn't it? And when you just do it that way, you miss. I've been studying for years, and I'm still learning. Only because I go with that mindset of study, understand, apply. Repeat, study, understand, apply. And when I've done that, I've gone to the same scripture and gone, oh, and I get more. And that's what the word tells you. It's living. It's active. But if you just do the study and you're going nowhere else. Do y'all get this? You go with the purpose of this being your life. My plan is to live this. Now, only true believers have access to truth. It says in John 8, 31 through 32, it says, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, watch this, if, so there is a requirement here, and he's showing you this. This is for us to grasp. If you hold to my teachings. Now, what does that mean? It means, remember I said to study, understand, and apply. That means that thing that I'm applying, I'll always do. Now, what happens to some of us is I'll do it as long as they don't say this to me, I'll love them. As long as they don't do this to my family, I'll do this. As long as it doesn't get in the way of this part of my life, I'll. And God will allow these things to happen because he's God. You can't serve two masters, right? Big thing I said was COVID and this whole 2020 should be a spiritual awakening, right? Not a moral or human shakeup. It should be a spiritual awakening. This should not have affected our spiritual walk at all if we're walking spiritually. Should not have. If. But we had to hold to his teaching. The more I look at his word, it would have been effective in everything that we've done. Every reaction, every decision we made with based on his word would be perfect and it would show like the light. But it hasn't, because we were not holding to his teaching. We were holding to our truths pertaining to him, not the truth. Everybody got that? He says, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. I always said one of the biggest things in this, and we could have shown it in every incident that happened this year, is love. And love is very clearly put. Not our human wishy-washy version of love, which is extremely dangerous, because our version of love is based on us and is limited to people based on us, and we are flawed. But godly love encompasses everybody, and it puts everybody ahead of yourself. Now, just listen to what I just said. It puts everyone ahead of yourself. Why is there in there an argument? The minute we see that there is a thing that I can do to get somebody else sick, should have brought to our minds. The minute I seen there was some sort of injustice where there was something unfair happening, it should have came to our mind. The minute I seen there is a separation happening in the church between church members, this should come to our mind. That should have been the first thing based on God's word. We should have gone, oh, wait, there is a problem. What I've noticed is we engage more on the individual. I'm missing out on. I don't like what. Let me find somebody who's saying what I like to hear. Not how am I affecting others in the Lord. Holding to his teaching, only those are his disciples. You can call yourself his disciples, but he's saying there's only a group down here that will display it. And that's the ones that are doing exactly what I'm telling them. He says, now, if you are really my disciple, those are the ones that are holding to his teaching, not just reading it, doing it. I'm talking about actually doing it in every situation. He says in verse 32, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. That's how I know that last line, if true Christians, 2020 wouldn't have touched them, because you're free. You would expect this and worse from the world. Why? Because you're living spiritually. You've been already set free. You're expecting this world to get worse. The ones who haven't been set free are embracing this world. Think about it. There are Christians now who are frustrated. They're scared. You know, you had a judge that just passed away and people are in panic. You know, people, one side's panicking if one gets in as president, the other's getting in panicking if one stays in as president. And we're just like, oh, this world's going to go. Y'all do understand this world is already going, right? It's already headed to disaster. Period. It has been. Our job was never to fix it or to rely upon it. But I still hear Christians who embrace it instead of being a light in it. If we held to his teaching, we could do our job, but we're too busy trying to set our own selves up, protect our own selves, watch our own selves, despite everybody else. And we're not set free. Truth is a powerful thing when we truly have truth. Now, you are either a true believer, God's people, or not, the devil's people. No in between. Now you get those people who think they're in between. I may not go to church, but I love and I mean well, or I do go to church, even though I'm not doing what I'm supposed to. And he said there's going to be an either or. Now this is going to explain some things to some people who do get confused, and I'm not talking about all of us get confused, but who stay confused. Watch what he says here. In John 8, 42 through 45. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. Now remember, love is an action. It's not this emotional feeling that you have for Christ. It'll be something that you display to Christ. I'm looking to God to do what he said. Remember, if you love me, you'll do what I command. So one of the things you'll demand from me as a pastor is to teach you what he commands so you can do it, so you can love him. Y'all catch that? So he says, you would love me, for I came from God and now am here. I have not come on my own word. I'm sorry, not on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? So now this is the thing. So when you read the Bible, he's saying, so why is this not clear to you? He's going to answer that. And it's not going to be a pleasant answer. He says, because you are unable to hear what I say. So you can't do it. Why? You belong to your father, the devil. Now, some people, that'd be fighting words. Why would you say that? Humble people will go, tell me more. What is it that I'm doing that now my father is called the devil? It says, you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding, watch this, to the truth. Now that one part is the main part down there. Do we really want what God said, or do we want the things we like that God said? Think about that. Are we really searching for what God is saying, if it's uncomfortable or not, or are we seeking the truth that we like, the half-truth, right? The self-deceptive truth. He's saying Satan was not holding to the truth. It says, for there is no truth in him. Either you have all truth or there's no truth. So those people who have half-truths have no truth. He goes on to say, when he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So he invented this. He owns up to it. He got it patented. He has it. It says, yet because I tell the truth, watch this, you do not believe me. Did y'all catch that? We struggle with God's word because we don't like the truth. Now, if you are truly a child of God, I don't care how you feel about it. Y'all get this? And that's where I keep stressing the feeling part, because a lot of us go with our feeling. When you hear a word that makes you feel good, you think, okay, I'm going to embrace this. When you hear a word that makes you feel uncomfortable, we start searching a way to get out of it. We start looking for loopholes. You know, life, that sermon itself was not a comfortable sermon, and it wasn't meant to be. It was meant to get us out of our comfort and into his grace. But too many times we live for our comfort. So when we hear the truth, we struggle with it. Wait a minute, that person that's been doing that to me, I have to still love them? This has been going on for years. I know. So what am I supposed to do? Love them. And you don't know how many times you'll see people look at you like, yeah, right. And more look at you like, yeah, right, than the other ones going, oh, man, I really need to change. Why? Because it's about us. And when it's about us and we display the wrong father, you just answered the question. Who is your father? And don't answer that. Let your life answer that, like he's showing. So you'll take this word, and I want what it says, and I'm going to show it on how I do it, despite how I feel. Everybody with me? Y'all catch this? So we got to make sure truth is what we're pursuing, and that's what we're doing, because that is what God is. Anything else, that's Satan. And that's who you're following, if you're not following truth. Only those that do what truth says are those who live in truth. Okay, so it's not just, like I said, getting it, saying it, it's applying it. You don't apply it, you're not getting it. And you're going to be stuck in this circle of never getting it. Okay, it says in 1 John 2:4-6. 1 John, remember, I don't know if you remember this, because at the end of 1 John, he says, I told you this so that you know that you may have eternal life. Remember we did the whole study on 1 John? Because what the study was showing us is that whole book breaks it down for us on those who are truly Christian. And if you fit in that, you're good. And hopefully, humbly, we looked at it and go, wait a minute, that's not me. Right? And start changing things using God's spirit. So this is part of it. He says, the man, starting in verse 4, who says, I know him. So that's the person who says, I'm a Christian. And you get a lot of people in the world that are saying this. Watch this, but does not do. Remember I told you one of the biggest dangers is the church is teaching grace in a way where works plays absolutely no part. And they're confusing people. They're almost telling you to stay away from trying to do. It'll just happen through osmosis. While the word itself tells you, no. The evidence will be in what you do. He says right here, I know him. So you're saying I'm a Christian, but do not do what he commands. Watch this. Is a liar. Remember who the liar is? Satan, right? So you're now following him. So instead of the person recognizing, I need to fix this. I'm going to change this. They go, yeah, I'm doing that. Right? They're a liar. And the truth is not in him. Truth, who is Christ? Truth is the Holy Spirit. Truth, I'm not a Christian. Y'all catch that? All right? I can say it till I'm blue in the face, but I'm not doing it. Okay? And he's going to show us this is an evidence for a certain person. He says in verse 5, but if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. And watch what he says here. This is how we know we are in him. So if a person goes, am I really a Christian? Remember, I told you it's not about the outcome. It's about the output. So are you doing what he said? Yeah. All good. And you got to be honest with you. Are you doing what he says? No. Then it needs to be fixed. Remember, it's my evidence. How do I know I'm going the right way? You know what I mean? Have you ever drove before, you know, GPS came out? There were certain signs and certain things you got to see to know if you were going the right way. Hey, man, if you end up on this road, you're going the wrong way. You ever heard people give you instructions like that? And the same way for us, if I check my life and now I'm treating people different. Now I'm managing my money different. Now my marriage is different. And when I say different, I'm talking about in line with God or not. When it's not, I'm not. So this is for me. This is a good me checking me thing. This is why it's foolish for us to hide our lives from others. You may go, why? Because I can criticize you all I want, but it's not doing anything to you. I'm not going to tell you if you're going to hell, heaven or hell. However, if I'm the Christian I'm supposed to, and you're going the wrong way, and I'm doing what I'm supposed to, I'm going to help redirect you. This is why I tell some of you, if not all of you, all of us, stop being the target for them. I don't want you to do it for me, and I'm not going to do it for you, because none of you can do anything for me in the eternal, and I can't do anything for you in the eternal. My job is to help in this path. So when I see you going the wrong way, I don't want you to have to hide it from me because I'm going to fuss at you or I'm going to condemn you. What I want you to know is, man, I need help from you. I'm not going to enable you and encourage you to do it, but on the other end, I'm not going to allow you. I'm going to help you. And that's what he's saying, because I want to know I'm going the right way. And my evidence is showing me that I'm not. I still snap out on these people. I still live for more for my money. I still go for this in my life. And other places will teach, well, you know, we're only human. And he's just showing you, no, if you're really in the truth, your life, the entire part of it, will display truth. Amen? All right, no amen? That's all right. I'm sure there's some people saying amen, right? And it says, that's why it says in verse 6, whoever claims to live in him, what's the next word? Must walk as Jesus did. Now, we think Jesus already walked as Jesus did, so we don't have to. I've heard that say many times. You know what? You don't have to do what Jesus did because Jesus already did it. Now, you're reading this in God's word. Oh, no. You're supposed to walk that way. And if you say you can't, you miss something about Christianity. Because grace didn't just give you where your sins, past sins are cleansed. It empowered you with Christ. Right? I can do all things through who? Christ, who strengthens me. So if he's really my strength, I can walk exactly how he did. To be for real, we could actually, the time you get saved, live a sinless life. That's deep, isn't it? He doesn't even, through his grace, doesn't require that. Oh, but we have the ability to. But it's hard on the flesh. right? So we just get laxed and ignore that. That's one of those truths none of us like to hear. Because you're like, Pastor, don't put that pressure on me. But you have the strength to do it, right? So we allow ourselves to still live in the lie. Now, so we must follow this simple instruction. James 1, 22. Do not merely listen to the word. There are a lot of those who are students. I'll have a ton of notes. I'll come in here, I'll hear it, and I will hear it. That's where it ends, right? Now, how many of you, when you don't understand it, it'll never come out? You'll kind of put it away. Well, I don't understand it. Oh, well, right? He says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. What he's saying to you is there is no difference between a person not listening to the word and a person listening to the word and not understanding it. The next step should be, oh, Pastor, we got to talk about this. Now, why do we give multiple question and answer times? Why do we offer that? For you to bring those questions. So I'm a little confused. I'm a little stuck on this. Please, using the word, show me and answer this for me, because I need to know this. This is mandatory. Now, if you're one that read it and think you're getting points like you did in school because you read it, you're fooling you. You are deceiving yourself. You need to know this in order for you to apply this. And yes, you must apply it. Right? Okay? The way we get any points, if you will, in his grace is us living it. And then when you start applying it, you'll start understanding deeper truths. There are some truths you won't get. Remember it said pure milk is for babes, but solid food are for the mature who, when they, for constant use, learn the difference between good and evil. Remember that verse? That verse is letting you know if you stay a babe, you'll never know the difference. There is a problem, a major, major problem. And too many Christians today are still babes and they're going in circles. And only reason is because we're deceiving ourselves. That's why he ends it with do what it says. So my goal is to go into the word and to come out of it doing what it says. So in order to do that, I have to first get it, understand it, so I can apply it. Now, if you're so distracted and life is so busy, whose fault is it? You may go, no, Pastor, my job, my household, I got all these kids. Remember, we learned in life, there's the necessary and the needed. If I use my job as my example, why I'm too busy to stay in the word, my job is necessary. Jesus comes back. Did you do what I said? No, I was too busy. Okay, you did necessary, but you didn't do what was needed. That's deep, isn't it? So I did the necessary. So it worked for now, but my eternal is in trouble. Y'all get this? My internal shook up even to the point where my internal may be away from him. Now that should scare us, but no, we're too stuck up in the temporary instead of embracing the eternal. See, when I realize what's needed, I'll go after that and apply the necessary as needed. Not go after the necessary and hope to add the needed. And that's what we keep doing. I'm going to do what it says. I need to receive this word in order to do what it tells me to do. Now, those that belong to the truth are those that love in action, not with words only. Once again, 1 John 3:18 through 20 says, dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. There are couples that say, I love you every day and don't. And there are couples who may never say, I love you, or say it very little and truly do. And that's deep. Why? Because one's displaying it. Now, what's weird is we have our own loves, which are not loves. Okay? The certain things you do as a couple or as you do with your children outside of God are meaningless. I can't stress that enough. When I display God, who is love. Do you understand that? So how I am with you better be in line with God. Now I see us, we readjust our lives to fit us and we want God to sign off on it. Does that make sense? I remember my daughter brought some guy home, and I'm sure a lot of dads gone through this, which you didn't approve of. And I think in her mind, she just thought I should, you know, I like him, so you should like him. That was her answer. I like him, so you should like him. And I've always tried to be fair of, I'm not just beating him up because I don't like him. I'm saying there's a bunch of stuff about him that's dangerous. So I don't approve. I'm looking out for you. You're my daughter. You're my responsibility. but her desire was, but I like him. We're doing that exact same thing with God. We're bringing certain life and lifestyle to God, but God, I like it, so you should like it. Then when it beats us up and we get messed up, we're like, God, why did this happen? What do you mean, why did this happen? You totally went a path I told you not to go. Totally ignored me and in my face did it to me. And now you want my approval and you're wondering why I beat you up. And that's what he's understanding. He says, let us love with words. I mean, not with words and tongue, but with action and in truth. So that means I'm going to do what he says based on God's word, and I'm going to live it so you see it. So when his word says, I don't approve, oh, I can't do this. Y'all get this? If my daughter really trusted, or most daughters trusted in their parents, they would have gone, if my parents don't approve, we can't be. And that's only for parents who are living godly. If life was in that way where you had godly parents and they're only looking out for your godliness and you brought somebody home, they would look at the godly situation and go, this ain't going to work. The daughter would go, this ain't going to work. But even more so is what we're supposed to do with God. God, this thing I'm setting up in my life, oh, it's not going to work. It's done. That's action and in truth. He says, this is, once again, here's some more evidence, how we know that we belong to the truth. When you find yourself tap dancing around something you're doing to fit God, that might be telling you something. But when you're going, because the word says, so I'm doing. Y'all catch that? Why are you doing it? The word says, so I'm doing. Got it covered. When you go, well, I know the word says this, but I'm doing this and it's adding to this. And then I did this and other people are doing worse than I am. And I'm doing, okay. Who are you trying to convince? Amen. Truth is plain. It says, and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. What does that mean? Have you ever felt like a Christian? You feel like, I don't know I'm doing the right thing. And I'll see people that try to do more. So we'll go out and do a bunch for charities, or we'll read more, or we'll do stuff. And we'll do stuff because we're feeling uneasy. That's your flesh. Because your flesh is making you feel uneasy, even in your righteousness. He already gave you the answer. Are you doing what he says? Yeah. Why are you trying to add to it? Why are you making it worse? Why are you killing yourself? I remember when I first started as a minister, I was like, I have to do a prison ministry, got to do a hospital ministry, then I got to go do this, I got to go feed the poor, I got to go heal some people, I got to walk on water. You know what I mean? It was just like, I had my plate full. And as I'm reading the word, it was like, where did I say do all this? Right? Why are you overdoing? Now, there are some that do the opposite. I don't have to do nothing. They're laying on the couch. That's wrong. The word shows us what we're supposed to do. And his burdens are light. Do y'all get this? If you just do what he says, in that simple package you're in, just do what he says, man, you're doing so much more. You're going to hear, well done. Those that are overdoing it, he's like, yeah, that was great, but I didn't tell you to do that. Peter was put there for our example. Y'all get this? Peter would overdo it. And some would go, but he meant well. And did Jesus go, yeah, you meant well. No, he would go, Peter. All right, how many times? Come on, Peter. Right? So we have to make sure we're just staying in his truth. And then in his presence, I feel comfortable. Why? I'm doing what the word says. But make sure you're not fooling yourself. Make sure you're doing what the word says. He goes on and says, whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. So in my actions, as long as I'm doing what the word says, I'm good. There are no mysteries, but should I be doing this? And what did this mean? And this happened. Did this mean something? And how do I? That's Satan. That's what Satan did with Eve. You remember that? When he started questioning her on eating from the fruit of the tree, then he stepped back and she went, oh, and she saw that it was good for eating. And that's what we do with life. I know I'm doing what the word says, but maybe I'm supposed to be doing this, and should I be doing that? Now I'm all uneasy and I'm shook up. Why? Because you added you, right? Why would God say, there's something I need you to do, but it's a mystery? This isn't some television show. If it's something necessary, he puts it plain. As long as you follow what you're supposed to, it's there. The confusion usually comes from us. Think about it. Confusion is usually from us not doing what we're supposed to. Now, all that are in a position of responsibility must be responsible to God only, which is truth. Now, this is where you're supposed to hold your teachers. Now, a lot of us will hold our teachers because they said some scripture. Some of us will hold them with their degrees. Some of us will hold them because of their experience. The Bible gives us the main thing you're supposed to hold us to, which means you hold us to this every time you hear us. So I could be 100% truthful last week. This is a new week. Did y'all catch that? So y'all better check me this week. My credentials don't just pass where you accept me. You have to accept me by going through the truth. He says in 1 Corinthians 4, 2 through 5, now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. Now, faithful means what I'm teaching you, you better be able to find in the word. And not just me, whoever you're hearing from. It better be found in the word. He says, I care very little if I am judged by you or by any human court. So I had to learn this because I've had many people come up and say, Pastor, this is how you should change your ministry. And that's great. I'll listen. And if it's not grounded in the word, I'll go, okay, thank you. And we move on. Do y'all get this? Why? Because I have to be careful because it's easy for me to go, wow, they like this. So I got to do more of this and less of this. But is that based on the word? Do y'all get this? So I have to make sure I don't let the world dictate or you dictate how I teach. That's very important. And it says, I don't even judge myself. So I can't do it if I like it. There are some titles or topics I'd rather not do that let y'all know. But it has nothing to do with it. If it's in the word, I must do it. So me judging myself doesn't even matter, right? He says, I do not even judge myself. And he says, my conscience is clear, but that doesn't make me innocent. Remember the last verse where it said, sometimes some of us are unsettled because we don't think we're doing enough. Some of us think we're doing so great, we're comfortable. Yeah, I'm good. Are you? You're probably like, Pastor, why'd you do that? Good. You want to have that where you're checking it, but check it the way he said, right? So I don't even allow my comfort to comfort me. Watch what he says. It is the Lord who judges me. So if the word tells me, Keith, in everything that you're doing, are you following God's word sincerely, then you're good. That's how it works. Y'all get this? He says, therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motive of men's hearts. At that time, each will receive his praise from God. So as a responsible teacher, my job is to answer to him. When it comes to it, if let's say everybody left and said, oh, Pastor, retire, we're going somewhere else. In the end, God's not going to go, how many people stayed? He's going to go, did you do what I told you to do? That's the thing I had to come to grips with. Not, well, God, they didn't want that, so I gave them this. Remember when Aaron did that? Well, they didn't want that, so I built them a calf. God, you know what I mean? The whole problem is we tend to curb to people, and this is why we're in the itching ear era. People go, I like that, Pastor, but if you look at sermons now and you look at churches, they have shortened their sermons, or they have given them and added them with so much fluff to try to keep your attention and to make you enjoy it, but not feed you. Amen. And I'm not going to lie. It was enticing. It hit there a couple of times where somebody said, if you did more of this, people would. What I should hear is if you do what God says, then you're answering to him. I always think about Keith, when you're done and he comes to you and go, so did you do what I told you? And that's how every one of you should be. He'll go, okay, I'm going to check you on every aspect of your life. Did you do what I told you? And if your answer turns into, but I did it for, think about that. Now, that should hit you. Most times it don't. Now, since ministers must preach the truth, we must hold all ministers responsible to preach the word of God only. You'll get books out here. And I told you, and in the books, and I tell people over and over again, you have to be careful because in these books, they'll have scripture. But the scripture won't always support the topic. But you'll be so impressed that it has scripture. You'll be so impressed with that person. You'll read that book and you're following it. Many times people have given me a book. I had to go through the thing of following it. Then I would come to them. Okay, see this section here that they told you to do? This has nothing to do with God. In fact, you can go through this whole book. It's not. And I'm kind of, oh. But they were so enhanced by this other thing, they were deceived. Wait, who also does that? Satan. Satan will use scripture to lure you in order to give you an untruth, in order to deceive you. So my responsibility is to make sure I'm giving you just this. Look what it says, 1 Thessalonians 2:13. It says, and we also thank God continually because you received the word of God. You don't want the word of Keith. I don't care what I've been through. I don't care how great. I don't care what my experiences are. You do not want my word. It says, which you heard from us. You accept accepted it not as word of men, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. You hear certain orators, people who are excellent speakers. That includes Malcolm X, was an outstanding speaker. Hitler was an outstanding speaker. People were caught up in the things that they were preaching to where they would distort the truth because we loved what they said and how they said it. Very dangerous. So you have to hold us to making sure I'm giving you what he says. Now, finally, God gives instruction on how we are to minister the truth. Now, pay close attention, because this puts me in the check of where I'm supposed to be. It's going to break it down. So you watch me on this. I have to watch me on this. And this is the line that I use in order to make sure I'm presenting the truth to you. 2 Corinthians 4:1-5 says, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. That's the first part. Like I told you, the discouragement came in twofold. Sometimes you don't see people coming to the truth. So my emotional excitement was, man, once people get the truth, they're going to want to keep hearing it. That didn't happen. Secondly, when people got the truth and they said, I understand it, they weren't applying it. So both times, I'm not going to lie to you, as a human, there were times I sat here going, why am I doing this thing? Y'all get this? You kind of go, why? Until very clearly the word showed me, this is not about you, Keith. Y'all get this? This is, you just play a part. I'm taking it from here. So I can't let how I feel about the situation change what I'm responsible for doing. Right? I met a lot of older ministers, and you'll see them with this. They look worn down. They look frustrated. Why? And as you talk and hear about their story, they're like, we came in passionately, and we ended with, what is the matter with these people? And then you'll see them cutting services and ending things and not caring. Why? Because they're like, it's not doing anything. Because they made themselves too important. They lost heart. So my focus had to then go completely to him. In the end, I have to answer to him, did you do what I told you? That's the first thing. I don't lose heart. Rather, look what we've done. We have renounced secret and shameful ways. That's the first thing. So when you get these that come in and give you the secret message that God only gave them to give to you, be skeptical. Now, I'm not saying God's not going to speak. You just make sure, God, I need you to tell me too, because I'm not trusting him. So many will follow these ministers. God gave me a word and you got to do this and make sure when you leave today, you go follow this. You make sure you hold person accountable, because what happens is the secret and shameful ways are what lure people in. There's ministers preaching Bible code. Have you ever heard that? In which they do this looping around and they get a message within the message, but you have to have perfect software to do this. And then you have this other one, which they use symbols. And if you go and see what the words mean and how their symbols look, then that gives you a message. That's another common message out of it. And there's another one where you read this language and you attach it with this language and it fits with this language and only certain people have access. And that's the problem, right? That's something we renounce. If you don't have access to it, then there's a problem. That's when you need to back away. So that has to be gone. And then it says, and we do not use deception. We do not use deception. There is shrewdness and there's deception. Shrewdness is where I do it in such a way where I'm not lying, but you didn't realize you were ministered to. You have Christians today, I'll walk up to you with the Bible and they'll say, thou hast said that thy must, you know what I mean? Now the person's running away from you. Well, when you go to work, you're saying things based on God's word, and they have no idea they were just ministered to. That's shrewd, because you didn't lie. Now, when I go, don't worry, just come to church. Nobody's going to preach at you, right? Don't worry. And then they come in. Well, okay, maybe I lied just a little bit. That's a lie. Christians, ministers, we are never to deceive. I better not come to you saying God is going to, and then he doesn't. And I go, I don't know what happened. I only give you God is going to when God says he is going to. There are people who are trained to come to church. You will not get this disease. God never said that. Now, if there's an organization where they said that, I haven't seen it happen yet. They just lied to their congregation based off of what they want. Do y'all get this? Now, the problem isn't them getting COVID. The problem is you lying. That's huge. So I can't put that out there. And nor do we distort the word of God. That's huge. I must give it to you. And how am I supposed to give it to you? Watch what he says. He says, on the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly. Setting forth the truth plainly. I'm just giving you what the word says. That's what my responsibility is. Y'all get this? Setting forth the root trend. We commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. What that means is, I'm giving you this. I'm going to clearly explain it. You're not going to like it. I'm not going to apologize for it. You understand? Because all I am is the mailman. I'm not going to go, I can't preach that. There are going to be some people that are feelings are going to get hurt. I can't preach that. It's going to insult some people. Mine is, I'm giving you what the word says. If somebody sent you something offensive in the mail, does the mailman go, I'm not going to give this to them? No, he puts it in your mailbox. It's up to you if you receive it or not. That's my job. And I don't feel guilty because I'm just giving you what God said. In fact, I'll feel guilty if I don't give you what God said. I was in the ministry one time where they saw a certain person come in to the church. And there was a lesson he was going to go over. He totally changed his lesson not to insult that person. And I asked him, I went, but if the message is from God, God didn't withhold that. And he was trying to give me worldly wisdom on it. And I was just really shook up by that. Because I was like, so you didn't want to insult them with God, is what you're telling me. Help me with that. Do y'all get this? In which we steer away in order not to insult. Make sense? Okay. Now, I'm not saying hit them hard with it. The shrewdness will be, I got to be gentle. And we're supposed to be gentle anyway. But not to do it is dangerous. He says in verse 3, and even if our gospel is veiled, in other words, so if I'm doing everything that he says, and I'm just giving you the word, when the ones who don't see it, he's saying if it's veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Now, that's dangerous. If you really don't get it, it's because you're still living for something else other than God. Think about that. It's your priorities are still wrong. Like there are people who are living for God, living for themselves. Think about that. In other words, they're really not living for God, period. They're living for God as long as God is living for them. So they're living for God as long as God is making them happy. They're living for God as long as God goes on to their agenda. They're living for God as long as. So in other words, they're really living for something else, using God as a path to get to that something else. Think about that. Now, the Christian, they want the good with the bad. They'll read something in God's word and go, oh, I got to stop this. This thing that I was doing has to end now because it's not pleasing God. The other person will go, well, what does God want me to do? I can't give this up. I want to be happy too. I got to be. And you see that stuff coming. God's like, go do your thing. Hopefully your temporary will be enough. Y'all get this? He's like, so it's not veiled to those because it's hard to understand. It's veiled to those because your priorities are still wrong. It says to those who are perishing. And watch this. He says the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers. This is why when we minister to them, we just minister to them to a point that they may receive what's clearly seen. God's word is clearly seen. The blindness comes in us because we have believed the lie. We chose to believe the lie. It says so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. It says for we do not preach ourselves. So if I got up here and said, let me show you, I did this and look at what happened. That's a dangerous sign. Now, you ever get those? They'll go build these big extravagant churches in the middle of the slums. And then look, the reason why I have what I have, do you want what I have? Then you need to follow me. They just redirected you. And that's what he said. We don't preach ourselves. I'm just as flawed as everybody else. If I preach me, you'd be like, well, I'm doing the same thing. We're all going in the same place. Instead of realizing, no, I'm preaching you something much greater than me. It says, but Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as servants. You must see me as just that. You must hold me to that. But then you must also be that. As we're on this journey of truth, I can't stress enough, pay close attention. God gave all of this to you for you. When you choose not to, you only have you to blame. Let's pray. Dear most holy, most gracious Father, once again, thank you so much for your word, dear Lord. And let us become more diligent and focused and stop being so distracted. We want to walk in your ways, dear Lord, seeking you at all times, doing the things that you would have us to do. We want to make sure, dear God, that we're being light and that we're receiving the purest truth, which is you and only you. Please allow me in any case, in any speaking, or all of us in any of our ministries, dear Lord, that we are just a light presenting your word in its purest form. As we leave out of here today, dear Lord, let us be instruments and be helpful to those. We ask for continual blessing on those who are healing, those who are sick. We ask for continual blessings on their families, but also for those who are comfortable, those who may feel like life is good, that they are focused, that they are not misled. Let us realize that 2020 to a Christian is no different than any other year. Help us to get clearly focused that we may be a light outside of this darkness to guide others to you and not guide them to this temporary comfort. We love you. We thank you. And we want to live for you in every aspect of our lives. And all these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name, we all say amen. Amen. Thank you all.